The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas are on Behar and the Chukaisa. These are the last Parashas of Ayikra. In Parshas B'Chukeisai, we have what is known as the Brochas and the Techoches, where the Torah tells us that if you will walk in the statutes, you will labor in the statutes, or walk in the statutes, the mitzvahs, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Brochas on you. If not, he will bring, heaven forbid, the opposite of Brochas. All of the Yisurin, all of the afflictions and hardships, and the Torah goes through and lists them all. And one can ask, there's no nation in the entire world that has gone through so many hardships, trials and tribulations, afflictions, obstacles and difficulties as Yisrael. Why? And in addition, Yisrael is the Am HaNivchor, it's the nation which is chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nation which supposedly he loves the most. The fact is, many religions use this against us. They said that if you're the chosen nation and God loves you so much, so why is he afflicting you? Why is he making all of this, these problems for you? It's because he has given you up. He has forsaken you. And this also we find by the tzaddikei and gedolei olam, the great righteous and great people of the world in Israel, that their lives are full of all types of troubles, obstacles, hardships, and difficulties. For example, Rabbi Kiva, now is doing Sfiras HaOmer, yesterday was Lag BaOmer, and the Rebbe Kiva, who was from the greatest of all of the sages of the Mishnah that ever lived, he had a life of enormous difficulties. Until he was 40 years old, he had never learned. He never learned Chumash, he never learned Mishnah. And he had great ideological battles with himself. Later on, he would testify in himself that he hated, with a great hatred, the Talmidei Chachomim. When he married Rachel and he started to study Torah, he was 40 years old, he had to go learn with children. He had to go to a cheder. And learning is not so easy at 40 years old when you're just starting. It's never so easy. And he and Rachel were driven out of there, of her father's home. And she had come from one of the finest and most aristocratic homes in Yerushalayim. And they had to go live in utter poverty. And she was an outcast, because family drove her out. She was of great reputation. And people thought she was crazy. She's marrying a shepherd and giving up all of this. So it was a public embarrassment also to her. And then later on, they were separated for 24 years when he went to study Torah at a later age. And then she had to suffer, live alone. And again, in great poverty. And also, it was an embarrassment to her. Her friends and neighbors would say, well, what's going on? What happened to your husband? You should have listened to your father. And then even after he became great, and he returned with all of his 24,000 Talmidim, He always had problems with the Romans. The Romans were occupying Eretz Yisrael, and he was always persecuted. All of the Jews were. And then he saw all of his Talmidim, 24,000, die in Magepha, in a plague. Could there be anything worse than that? And even we managed to come back. He went to teach Torah again, and he brought up Talmidim. But his end of days also, he was murdered in the end. The Romans put him to death. They tortured him to death. So this was Rabbi Akiva. We find, for example, by David HaMelech, he had great sorrows from his brothers. His brothers looked down on him. He was like the black sheep of the family. He had sorrows from Shaul HaMelech. King Saul wanted to kill him. He was a fugitive, became a fugitive. Then he had sorrows from his own sons, Avishalom and others. And then all from all of his enemies and political enemies and whatnot. Until the Gemara says it was three measures of affliction and hardships that came down to the world. And one measure went to David HaMelech. It was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had sorrows constantly from Dothan v'Aviram. Pare wanted to kill him. Then he had with the golden calf, right after he went up for 40 days to bring down Torah. The nation turned their back on him. And then he had problems with Korach and his footmen and his soldiers, his gatherings that wanted to overthrow Moshe. And then from the Maraglim, the spies, Eser Pomim, 10 times they went and they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each time they were testing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were testing also the authority and the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was Yaakov Avinu. It states, he said, Bekel Shaka Yitein Lochem Rachamim, in Pashas Biketz, Mem Gimel Yudalet, when he was sending back his brothers with Binyamin. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose name was Shin Dalet Yud, he should give you rachamim, he should give you compassion before this man. This was unknowingly, this was Joseph. But he used the shame, Shin Dalet Yud, which means enough. And he said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and then he stopped the creation, and he says, die. It was enough. Let him say, die letzorosi. Let him now say, enough. I've had enough sufferings in my life. Shalei shokarati minu urai. I've never had any peace from my earliest days. And Yaakov was an old man then. Tzoras Lavan. I had all of the tzorah for 20 years from Lavan. Esav, my own brother, wanted to kill me. Rachel, his wife died on him. Dina, his daughter, was abducted and molested. Yosef, my favorite son, disappeared for over 20 years. Shimon, and now Shimon has been abducted. And now you're taking Binyamin from me also. Avram, states Be'eser Nishaynes Nishnase Avram Avinu. Avram was given ten great trials and tribulations, which caused enormous confusion to him and sufferings. We have a posuk which is in Tehillim Tzarek Dalet, and it's in the Shir Shal Yom Piyam Revi for Wednesday. Ashrei Agever Asher Tiyasrenu Ko Ubeseiroska Tilamdenu. Fortunate is the person who Hashem afflicts, and he will learn, and you will learn from his Torah. What does this mean? So the Medrash Rabbah says in Lech Lecha Mem Os Beis Bimbola Hakpid. When affliction comes on the person, what is the When affliction comes upon a person, So what is the, generally, what is his attitude? He becomes short, impatient, short-tempered. Why is this happening to me? He starts to complain. Why is my lot so difficult? I'm getting a rough deal. I'm getting a raw deal. But everybody else is better. Okay. Why is this happening to me? So the Medrash says that if a person is being afflicted, ubala hakpid, and this is becomes his attitude, let him go look in the Torah. Let him go learn from the Torah. What will he learn from the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram and he heaped brachas on him. He said, Vavarechacha, Vagad lo shemecha, I will bless you and I will make your name great. And I will give you bracha and wealth, ubizaracha, children, and through your children the whole world will be blessed. Gave him all types of brachas. He said, but you have to listen to me. What I want you to do, I want you to uproot yourself from your family and from your land, your birthplace, and go to the land which I shall show you. And that whole land I will give to you. It's a wonderful land. So Abraham, in all faithfulness, listened. Midrash says, what happens? Shortly after he gets there, Vahira bought it. There was a famine in the land, and he had to leave. What happened with all the promises? What happened with the Lech Lecha? Avraham had to leave. Where did he go? He went down to Mitzrayim. What happened there? Pare abducted his wife. Kidnapped his wife. He never thought he would see his wife again. It was the mighty king. What happened? What's going on? And 10 times this happened to Avraham. Until finally, Avraham finally merited a son. Hashem says, take him and kill him. Make a sacrifice. So this is why it states, if a person starts to complain, how fortunate it is that Hashem afflicts him, if he starts to complain, let him go read what's in the Torah. Avraham didn't complain. Maybe he did. But now, so our question is, we have the Ribei Ateichachos in this week's Parsha B'chukah Yisai, all of the very, very horrible things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prophesies will happen to Yisrael if they go away from his Torah and mitzvahs. There's no nation in the world that has had to endure so much sufferings and afflictions. And we find that by the tzaddikim yoseh makulam, by the righteous, even more. We just mentioned a few, but we mentioned the Rebbe Kiva's life, Dovra Melech, Meshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu, Avram. Further we see, the Gemara Baruchas Daf Hei Amar Aleph says, Tanya Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Amen. Shimon Yochai said, Gimel Matonis Teves, Nosen HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. 3 great gifts Hashem is giving to Yisrael, He's given to Yisrael, but the Kulan Lainitnu Elayde Yisurin. But these 3 great gifts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yisrael can only acquire them through great hardships and difficulties and afflictions. Ve'elohein, Torah Eretz Yisrael ba'elam abo. Torah, the actual kinyan, acquisition of Torah can only come with great difficulty. Eretz Yisrael, that we see and that we know. Great, great difficulty. And olam haba, the world to come. So we see that this is not just b'mikra, this is not just something that happens. This is a condition. Now, the Yisurin, the difficulties which we're speaking about. Firstly, this is refers to anything that stands against the person. Mikot not godel, if it's small or big, the Gemara says. All the small agonies, hassles, worries, daiga, or the great things. And this is whether it's on a physical, emotional, mental, whether it's physical or emotional or mental or spiritual. But the ones we are speaking about, the ones that we're trying to understand, are those that a person doesn't bring upon himself. For example, I mean, in many places the Torah tells us, take care of yourself. Shmor nafshecha me'od. Tzini mepachim. A person has to, Torah warns us, take good care of your health. Otherwise you'll get sick. Don't go out in the cold. Don't go out in the intense heat. Don't go jogging when it's 40 degrees outside. Torah warns us all of the time in the Gemara. Rev Achila v'Rev Shtia states most of the sicknesses come from people overeating or overdrinking, smoking, or not taking care of the body, not exercising properly. Or the Agur Shever Chatziagov, these people who are constant warriors, says that breaks half the body. People who constantly are want all the time more, selfish, and they want more, and they're jealous, and they can't make peace when someone has something, or they're constantly desiring more and more and more. Or they want a lust for honor. It says, the person is destroying himself. This will destroy the person. It's self-destructive. Or states, Hasina vanakima, vanatira. A person who harbors hatred or revenge. It says, that destroys a person's heart. Person thinks, I'll get even with that person. He thinks he's doing harm to the other person. He's doing harm to himself. Or people that have no trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or people who harbor cruelty. We're not talking about that. Because there, he's directly bringing hardships upon himself. All that destroys a person. It is self-consuming. And there the person has a choice. He can be like that or not. And if he is like that, then he can't have questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are so many bad things happening to me? So this we're not speaking about. We're speaking about when a person seemingly, more or less, in accordance to the norms, takes care of himself, lives a pretty good life, and still he can't become free of these yesurim, these difficulties. Now the sages tell us there are three reasons for the afflictions to come onto a person. One is if a person strays from the path that he should be on. We'll give an example in the physical sphere. When a person is straying from the path that he should be on physically, for example, he eats something that's not good for him, drinks something that's not good for him, he's not active physically, active enough. The body will start to warn him, start to send signals to his seichel, to his mind, to warn him that he's eating something that doesn't agree with him, he's drinking something, he's doing something which is causing damage. So the body sends out signals, send out pain, or whatever, discomfort. This is a great bracha, because if we lacked that system in our body, oh, we would be in big trouble, because then we would just carry on what we're doing until it was too late to do anything about it. This is the same thing in the spiritual world. That if a person is doing something which spiritually is not right for him, he's transgressing, and the Torah gives us the spiritual path. It's the mitzvahs. He's doing something which spiritually is not right for him. It's causing damage. It's causing damage to the body, to the person, spiritually. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends out signals to the person that what he's doing, he should stop doing. And this is a bracha. Before it's too late. Because the more progressed it becomes, it's like a disease, the more progressed it becomes, the more difficult it is to turn it around, the more damaging it is. A classical example of this, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send out signals to the person to have him stop what he's doing because it's not right for him spiritually, is the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tumas Ras, which we mentioned it not long ago at a Shabbos Shiur. At the end of Hilchos Tumas Ras, we have in the Torah what was known as a tzaras. Tzaras we translate late as a leprosy, but it's not. It's something which is we do not find now. And the Rambam writes, "Hatzaras hu shema omer b'shutfis kelen yonim harbe shein demin zelazeh." Firstly, it can encompass a number of things. It can encompass when a person's flesh starts to change colors, or if he starts to lose hair, either on his head or his beard, or the coloring of his clothing, or the coloring of the walls of his house will start to change colors. Now, he says, "Eina mimin hoga shel elam." This is not natural, all of this. It's not a natural disease. Ela osu pela hoya bi Yisrael. And the fact is, this would only happen to Yisrael. It would not happen to anyone else. And this was an os and a pela. This was a supernatural, a wondrous thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world kedei lahazira meloshen hara, in order to warn Klal Yisrael not to speak loshen hara, not to speak badly and negatively and slander other people's reputations, or rechilas, to incite machlekes with their tongues. If someone would speak loshen hara, so first the walls of his house would start to change colors. If he stopped, then his house could become tohor, could become purified through the kohen. It would stop. The color, discoloring, miscoloring would stop. Imama berishai, if he didn't, so then it would carry on until they had to knock down the walls. If he carried on further, then on his leather goods, they also would start to change color. And his leather goods, his leather furniture, and so on. If he stopped, then that would stop. If he didn't, Omar Berisha, if he carried on in his evil ways, then it wouldn't stop and it had to be burnt. If he stopped, then everything was fine, but if he still carried on, then his skin started to change colors. And so it would go, until it came to the point where if this person would carry on in his evil ways, would come to the point where the halacha, mitzad halacha, legally according to the Torah, the kohen would look at him and say, "No, now at this point you have to leave the camp, you have to dwell outside of the camp by yourself." And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing, he was forcing him to stop, because when he's dwelling alone, he can't speak rechilas aloshen hara. He was forcing him to stop this Aveira. And then the Rambam carries on. Now here we have a classical example. This was the extreme of it. And we don't have that anymore, for one reason or another, in Klal Yisrael. It was only to Yisrael. But a person does an Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants him to stop. And this is for his good. Just like in the body, there's a system that when something is wrong, it communicates pain. This is one level of Yisurin. The second level, and that is, a person doesn't do anything wrong. Doesn't eat what he shouldn't eat. Doesn't drink what he shouldn't drink. Let's take on the physical sphere. But, at the same time, he's not eating a sufficient amount of good foods. He's not getting a sufficient amount of nutrients in his body. So what does he develop? He develops a deficiency. Now, because of the deficiency, again, the body and the brain will send off signals. He's not eating things he shouldn't eat. He's not doing things he shouldn't do. But he's developing the deficiency because he's not doing enough of what he should do. And the body will signal this. The brain will signal it. The nervous system. And from this he will learn. He'll go to the doctor or he'll learn himself or what. He's lacking something. Okay. This again is a barocha. Because if this didn't happen, he would die. So is it in the spiritual sphere. And many times, we will not do Aveiros. We won't speak Lashon Hara. We won't eat what we shouldn't eat. We won't drink what we shouldn't drink. All according to the spiritual sphere. But we will not be doing enough that we should do. For example, won't be learning enough Torah. Many people keep mitzvahs, but they don't learn enough Torah. We won't be doing enough chesed. Or perhaps we won't be giving enough tzedakah. In other words, those things, we won't do aveiros, but those milas, those levels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Israel to reach. So on this also then, he will signal the person and bring Yisurin, bring affliction on him in order to wake him up to this. So that's the second type. There's a third type. What's the third type? Let's say a person, doesn't do any aveiros to speak of, and he does his mitzvahs to speak of. So he's good. But this person has a great potential. This person has great capabilities. Now we find this in the world, in the physical world. I'll give you an example. You take someone who's very healthy, eats what he should, drinks what he should, sleeps what he should, does exercise, goes to the doctor, and the doctor gives him A1, 10 out of 10, a specimen of health. Comes to high school or to university, and there one of the coaches looks at him, and he says, you know, you can become a great gibor. You can become a strong man, world class. You can become a champion runner. You can become a world class soccer player, a golfer, another Gary player. Or someone says, a man like you, I'd like in the army, become an officer. You can be with the commandos. with the SEALs, with the Marines. Or someone else says, look, you have the physique that can climb mountains. Maybe you want to join our mountain climbing club. But we're going to Everest next year. We need a years of training. So what happens? He accepts, and they start to put him through such gruel training that he's always wondering, am I sure that I did the right thing? Joins the Marine, and I'm telling you, the Marines, he becomes a runner, whatnot. And his coach and everyone else, they're working him and they're working him, and they give him such a disciplined life. And he's wondering, what are they working me so hard for? And they don't work anybody else so hard. I'm getting you ready for Wimbledon. And when we were in high school, we ran track. Every day. It was four or five times around the track, around the park. We weren't allowed, smoking for sure, but we weren't allowed to touch a cold drink in the whole season. Or touch a piece of cake. Discipline. But the coach would tell her, you want to be a champion? That's how you have to be. Gary Player writes on himself, there is no man in the world, on the planet, that's what he says. There's no man on the planet that disciplined or trained himself like me. That's what he writes on himself. You think he became Gary Player just like that? Till today, he wouldn't touch anything. That was the least not healthy. Fact is, recently I saw an article where he still does 1,000 sit-ups a day during the course of the day with weights on his stomach. You want to become a champ, that's what you have to do. World class. Oh, you want to be a couch potato? Okay. See, or you want to be a Golani in the Israeli army? This is what they're going to put you through. So is it in the spiritual world. Now, these people weren't doing anything wrong. There was nothing wrong with them. The fact is, that was their problem. They were too good. And they had a lot of potential. And someone saw that. Now, that's not only in the physical world. You'll find that in every sphere of worldly endeavors. Person wants to become world-class musician. You read their biographies, they'll tell you what they went through. I remember hearing once a talk by a flute player who was world class. And she says that she has put in more hours training than a cardiologist. They'll train 5-6 hours every day. They'll keep themselves in perfect shape. Someone wants to become a great scientist. Whatever endeavor. Those that are not willing to subject themselves to that, they don't become. That's mediocrity. But you want to become an achiever or a champ or world class, you have to work yourself. You have to train yourself. You have to live a disciplined life. You have to utilize every minute of your day. If you really want to become great in that particular field, no one becomes great otherwise. So is it in the spiritual sphere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a person and he says, look, there's nothing wrong with this person. He eats properly, drinks properly, takes care of himself, keeps the mitzvahs, doesn't do Aveira, but it's mediocrity. That's good for someone else, but not for him. He has enormous potential. He has enormous abilities. He's got a great neshama. He has a mind that can be developed. But you have to develop it. You have to grow it. And that only comes with enormous toil. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the difficulties. He gives him the Yisurim. And here, through this, he becomes greater. It strengthens him. Because the Yisurim, firstly, it directs a person. It acts as signals, as road signs. It purifies the person, refines the person, but it grows the person. Grows the person. States that it brought the books right, that it's actually in the Chazal, in the Psukim. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings the winds to strengthen the trees. This is something that we're not all aware of. Trees become strong because of the winds constantly blowing against them. Because they have to constantly flex their muscles. The more you use a muscle, the stronger it becomes. With this, the Maral explains the Gemara in the first perek of Brochas, Daf Hei Omer Aleph. Omar Ova v'itema Rav Chisda. Imreya Adam Shishurin Bayin Olov. If a person sees that difficulties are coming upon him, Yefashvesh b'maisov. Then let him search himself to see what is he doing wrong. Shneema Nach Pesho Drachinu V'Nachira V'Noshu V'Nashem. So the first line of defense is, what am I doing wrong? Similarly, like if a person has a stomachache, what did he eat that he shouldn't have eaten? Fishveish v'le motza. What happens if he makes a self-examination and he can't find that he's doing anything wrong? Then the Gemara says, Yishle b'bitul Torah. Then let him link it to the fact that he's not spending enough time studying Torah. He's wasting his time with other things rather than he should be spending more time learning Torah. Shneamar, Ashri agever asher tiyasereno ko, miseiros ko selamdenu. Now, the first level is the first level we spoke about. He's doing something wrong. Okay. But what happens if he can't find that he's doing anything wrong? All right, he's doing nothing wrong. But he's not doing enough right things. He's not reaching for the level of Torah and Chesed and Stoker that he should. So therefore, let him be Tole in Torah. Im Tole v'lei motza. But what happens if he's using every possible amount of time that he can manage for learning Torah? Can't tell him he's not spending enough time learning Torah. B'yadua shi'isurin shalavahim. Then you should know the Yisurim that are not coming on you because of anything you're doing, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's placed his eye on you. He placed his eye on you, he sees your potential, and he wants you to be a champion. Yisurin Shalava, he has a special love for you. And therefore he's going to bring these hardships on you, one after the other, because from every one you will become greater, you'll become stronger. As it states, ki mishle ki as Hashem yav, Hashem yichiyach. He who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, that's the one he brings these difficulties to, not to others. Uka'ov es ben yirotze. Like a father, who does the father rebuke? He rebukes his own son, neighbor's son. If he feels close to the neighbor, then he'll rebuke his neighbor's son. Stranger son. No, that's not my Isaac. say. What's the difference to me? Those that are closer to you, you rebuke more because you want them to be perfect. Well, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees someone that can be like that. So this is the third level. Now, from here we can understand. Why is it by Israel? They become more afflicted. They have more problems than any other nation. We see why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes better care of them. He doesn't want them to get lost. He doesn't want them to go astray. He doesn't want them to destroy themselves. And he wants them to be perfect. He wants them to be champions. He wants them to become great. And this is why that in Israel we see the tzaddikim, the gedolim yoseim mekulam, that those righteous are more than all. Like Rabbi Kiva, like Moshe, like Yaakov, because they had to come to, they had the ability to come to such heights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu insisted on bringing their potential out of them. In general, you should know that without exception, and this is no exception to all of the Gedalim, all of the great people in the Torah had very, very difficult lives. Contrary to what you find in popular biographies today. Those popular biographies, a lot of them are totally fiction. This is not reality. They all had very, very difficult lives. And they had great, not only difficult, it was not difficult. They had difficult, physically difficult lives. And emotionally difficult lives. But spiritually they had difficult lives. They had great challenges. They had great confusion, great dilemmas, great decisions to make. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them these davka because they grew from this. They grew. To the contrary, the nations of the world, those that are the Avodah Zarah, the idolaters, the murderers, the cruel, those HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. And he doesn't want anything to do with them. Once he sees that nothing can be done. And that's why it states Rosh Vatevlei. We'll find that a Rosh, an evil person, has a good world here. And a tzaddik v'raloi, and a righteous person will have a difficult time. The evil person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to pay off in this world. So you won't have to see him in the next world. So he gives him his schar here. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants those in the next world, and to prepare him for the next world, the higher the goal, just like in the physical realm, the higher the goal, the more difficult it is to attain, the more training it's going to take for it. The higher the goal. Klal Yisrael's goal is Elam Abo. That's so far from here. That's Eina Niknas Ela B'Yisuri in Olam Abba. Torah Eretz Yisrael. That kinyan, that acquisition, can come only with enormous training. Constant training. Constant growth. This is why when it states Vayeshev Yaakov, in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Bikesh Yaakov Leshe Bishalba. After Yaakov finally got back from the house of Laban and back to Eretz Yisrael and to the home of his fathers, he said, enough, I want to retire. Vayeshev Yaakov, he wants to retire. Bikesh Yaakov Leishe B'Shalvot, now it's time for the golden years. See, let me retire peacefully. I'll sit and learn, I'll teach Torah, and finished. Miyad Kofatz, all love, Rogzei Shel Yosef, Tzoros Yosef. What happened? He was sitting learning with Yosef. He was teaching Yosef all of the Torah that he had learned. All of a sudden, Yosef disappears. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Tzadikim, Mevakshim, Shalva, Be'elam Azeh, Tzadikim want peace in this world. They die. It's not enough what they're going to have in the next world. This world is the training grounds. So you want peace in this world. I gave you this world to train yourself for another world. It's like someone who's training for the Olympics and he asks his coach, I want to take a holiday. He says, holiday? The world match, the world soccer is in 3 months. You want a holiday? Afterwards, not now. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov. That's not what this world's for. That's what the next world is for. This is the world of toil. Next world is the Olam HaManucha, the world for rest. So he says, Bikesh Yaakov, he says, you want shalva in this world? No, that's for the next world. This world was given to make you great in order that you can acquire the next world. This is what Dovra Melech wrote in Sefer Tehillim, Yud Aleph Hey. What's Dalet Behei? States as follows. Hashem Beheichal Kotshoi, Hashem Bashamayim, Kisoi, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the highest places in the heavens, and his throne is in the heavens, nevertheless, Einov Yechazu, still his eyes are on all of the people. Af Apov Yivchanu B'nei Odom, in his eyes, Yivchanu will be Beichin, can discern between one person and another. He sits in the heavens and looks here to discern between one and another. And what will he do? This one is a tzaddik, Hashem tzaddik Yivchon. This is a great righteous person, a person with a lot of potential. He will give him great tests, great trials and tribulations. The Rosha, the Aiv Chomos. But if this one is a Rosha, someone who loves money which is not his, Son of Nafsha, he hates him, disregards him, leave him go on his own way, I won't bother him. So Rashi says, Hareya Beichin Maaseim Vafu Pishin Shabayim Kisai V'Gobaya Einov Yechazu Eschem Boretz, even now Kodesh Baruch Hu's in the heavens, he can see clearly who's the tzaddik and who's the rosha. V'mimnei shan, and the tzaddik he chooses, and he'll give him a tough time. V'mimnei shan ilayke v'nirdaf al yedchem, atem misalalim lemor elakim ozvu. And even though that the person thinks, "Why I'm getting such a rough time? Kodesh Baruch Hu must hate me. He's forsaken me." Now, lekeinu, achkach midosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu leyaseh lenasei shel hatzadikim. Just the opposite. It's the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to afflict and to give great trauma and trials and tribulations and enormous tests to his righteous. Veleyaseh rishoyim. He doesn't bother with this to the rishoyim. So they have an easy, they're on the easy road. But not the righteous. And then he brings a medrash. Now, what does the Medrash say? This is what Rashi says. So what does the Medrash say? The Medrash gives three examples. This is a Medrash in Parshas Noach, Lamed Beis Gimel. The Medrash says, "Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu benasis ha-reshoim ala tzadikim." Kodesh Baruch Hu will test and discipline and throw obstacles in the way, just like you want to make a Marine, you want to make a Golani, you throw obstacles in this way, more obstacles, make the fences higher. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu will test his tzaddikim, and it brings three examples. One is when a person is making earthen pots, earthenware, earthen jugs. He bangs on them. Because when he bangs on the jugs, when they're being made, when they're hardening, that'll make them stronger. But he has to look at them carefully, because if it's not such a good jug, if he bangs on it, he'll break it. So he chooses strong ones, he bangs hard on, because that'll make them harder. The weak ones, he's got to take care, take it easy. That's one example it brings. Then it brings another example of the Pishtoni, the flax maker. The flax maker, he beats the flax. But if he beats the weak flax, it'll crack. So he's got to be careful to choose the good flax. When he finds a good flax, the more he beats it, the more it's mishtabachas, the more beautiful it'll become. And it's mishtamenes, shemen tov, it'll become a beautiful color, and it'll become lucid. That's a second, because there, in that case he's strengthening, in the first case he's strengthening it, the second case he's being matira, he's purifying it. He's purifying it and refining it. Then a third example. It says, a balabais, a farmer, he has two porters, two bulls, oxen, two oxen. Says one is a strong ox, and one's a weak ox. When he has something light to drag, gives it to the weak ox. He got a heavy burden, puts it on the big ox. Big ox complains, "Why do I always get the heavy burden?" Yeah. Because the other one can't carry it. You see? These are the three examples. So would HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He chooses, he needs that tzaddik. That's what he's looking for. And when he gets that tzaddik, just like a lahavdil, a coach needs that person. And then when he gets him, he's got to train him. Because I'm going to give you the heavy load. But why are you giving me the heavy load? Because I have nobody else to carry the heavy load. So I'm going to put on you the heavy load. You've got to be ready. Now one final point. In Mishlei, Mishlei Shlema Melech said in Peregimel, Yud Aleph Yud Beis, Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos V'Al Tokeitz B'Sei Chachtei. He said, "My son, don't become bitter because of Techocho. When you get rebuke, in other words, you see difficulties come your way, don't become bitter. Ki es asher ye'av Hashem yichiyachu koves ben yitzeh. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rebuke and difficulties on those that he loves. Like a father, who does he bring it? He brings it on his son. He doesn't bring it on a stranger. From here, the Maral says that in order for the difficulties to do its full job, the person has to cooperate. The person has to accept it. If he's constantly embittered, it'll make him more bitter. He won't grow from it. If he constantly complains, it'll make him into a complainer. He won't grow from it. It won't be matire him. So that's why it states that a person has to be makabel. If something is coming on a person because of his own doing, no, that he's got to be upset over. He did it to himself. Right? Someone mutilates himself, or destroys his own health, or squanders his money. That has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the world of choice, Olam HaBechira. He chose his own ways. He sleeps in the bed that he made. But if he's trying his best to do what's right, he sees all types of obstacles in the way and whatnot, hassles and whatnot, and there, he's got to try to understand, and naturally he has to solve each one as they come, but he has to accept it. It states be'avo. He has to accept it with love. It states that the tzaddikim used to be mekabel b'simcha. Maseilas Yeshorim says something which is very, very profound. He says that the great tzaddikim of the world, the Gemara says you shouldn't look forward to it. Rabbi Yechanan says, look, I'm not looking for the Yesurin, and I'm not looking for the reward of it. They come, they come. But the Maseilas Yeshorim brings that the great tzaddikim of the world used to look for it. They're waiting for it. Right? How can that be? Just like you take the Gibor, the champion, he wants that international competition. He's looking for the tough matches. He knows, it was a funny thing, when we used to run track, if you ran yourself, or even with a stopwatch, you couldn't achieve too much. If you had someone running next to you, and he was pushing you, he would always do better. You see? And that's why many of them, in every type of league are there, they want the top, because they know that's the only way, that's where they're going to really grow. The warrior, he wants the... What does the warrior want? The warrior doesn't want to stay in the back lines. He wants the front lines, where the battle is the hottest. Because now he has a mokum lizgadal boy. Now he has the opportunity to show himself and to bring himself out. He says, the great tzaddikim of history, they waited and they wanted that. And that, but that's... That Rabbi Yechon says, not for me. But nevertheless, that's why it states they were makabel yesurin besimcha. It was a simcha to them. Right? A new problem. Was a simcha to them. But at least you have to be makabel be'ava, because if you're makabel, if you accept it, well, you're bitter and you complain, then it can have just the opposite effect on a person. So this is what Shlomo HaMelech said. He says, Pusu Hashem b'ni al tomes, al tokets b'sechachte, don't become bitter. Don't reject it. It comes your way, it comes your way. Accept it, be'avo. And this is what is brought, and this we see with Rabbi Kiva. Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kom. This is a posuk in Mishlei Chof Dalet Tes Zayin. Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kom, v'rashoyim yikoshl b'ro. You see, again, to say that the righteous don't make a mistake, the righteous never fall, everything they do is perfect, this is fiction. And unfortunately, in many of today's works, it's for the popular. This is popular literature. It states, Kisheva yipol tzaddik, the tzaddik will fall 7 times. Maral says 7 times is always the sign of a ribui. When you want to say many, many times, you say 7 times. The tzaddik is always falling. Everyone is falling. But there's a difference. The tzaddik will fall seven times, become, but each time he'll get up again, and he'll be even stronger. From his falling, he will become greater. How do we know that everyone falls? It's a simple calculation. How does a baby learn? What is the learning process? A baby learns that fire is hot by burning themselves. A baby learns how to walk straight by falling. Since we learn the greatest education is when we learn from our mistakes, from our errors. This is the learning process. So in the spiritual world also, how can anybody get ahead, grow? He has to learn. How do you learn? You learn from falling. So you have to fall. But it states, ki tzadik, ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. The tzadik always falls, but he always gets up. After every time Rabbi Akiva fell, he got up. And when he gets up, he's even stronger than before. But the Rishoyim, Yikoshlu Berah. Now, the Rishoyim, once they trip, they're finished. They stay on the ground. That's the difference. So this gives us, an insight to why we find so much difficulty with Klal Yisrael, that Yisrael has to go through. We said, after all, they're the chosen nation. That's what Christians and others throw at us. If you're the chosen nation, why is your God treating you this way? It's just to the contrary. Because we're the chosen nation, he wants us to be perfect. And we have a big job to do. And this is why also you find that by the great righteous, the great people of the world, they also had such difficulties, and this was to purify them, to direct them, and to bring them always to greater heights.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.